Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 75 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 70 degrees.
NHLY, NHLY, NHASB.
Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 72 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 69 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 69 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Sunny. 70 degrees.
NADBF.
Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Sunny. 72 degrees. Good morning. 09 hundred hours. Sunny. 74 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours. Sunny. 78 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Sunny, 81 degrees.
KE8 VSI Mobile. What's shaking? Not a lot. Beautiful Sunday, heading to the sub shop and then to the Stony Creek for the lark. I'm going to stop up and say howdy. I wasn't aware there was a lark. Probably not. I've got some stuff I've got to do. But I'm going to call you. I don't know why. I thought maybe you might know, but I had to buy a new garden hose yesterday, and normally I would just go do it, and I thought, you know, I should ask somebody that might have an opinion on garden hose. I don't know why I thought of you.
Well, I don't really have an opinion other than the fact, buy a really good one, because mine is probably 10 years old now, and functionally perfect still, so... I think I got it at Home Depot, I'm not sure, but whatever the extra bucks were that I spent on it, I'm sure I saved by not replacing it yet.
So, I got mine from Ace. I looked at Home Depot, Lowe's, online, Harbor Freight. I looked just about everywhere. I thought the one from ACO, or ACE, right up here at the corner, was on special, and checked all the boxes, so, I mean, what a thing to talk about garden hose, anyhow.
Yeah, not much, you know, just quality, basically, and length, I guess. So I'm sure you did fine. You do tend to do what I do, research the crap out of it, no matter how big, no matter how small. And so there you go. My thing is the doggone nozzles. I've been through every couple of years, I buy a new nozzle. I buy the best one that I think it is, and they either don't work the way I want them to, or they wear out and break. You know, I don't know. I haven't found one that I'm in love with yet.
You know, I'll tell you, the one that we've had for the longest time without any incident is, I mean, usually it's the hose that takes the beating. You know, see, getting a crush-proof end is kind of a cool thing, but the end gets run over or something, gets a little out of shape. But the nozzle we've had that's been, is just a classic, you know, brass, old school, you know, you turn it, you know, this way to... You know, turn it on, and the more you turn it, the tighter the jet gets. And then turn it back the other way until it's off. It's just your classic brass nozzle. That's been our longest running one. Anytime we try to get something fancy with like a rotating head or, you know, it's plastic anywhere, anything like that. Same as you. They last a little while and then they jack up. So. That little brass one, but they're cheap, so, you know, if you want to get something fancy and just know you're going to replace it every year or two, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I had exactly what you're talking about, the twisty brass one. old school. It was kind of old. I think I probably inherited it from somebody in the family. And I had it for many, many years, and it finally died. Something broke on it that wasn't repairable. So I guess I should search out another one of those, because I don't need the fancy. I do want heavy duty and reliable, and you know, get the good beam of water, I guess, or spray. So yeah, maybe my next search will be for exactly that, because you're right, I had that for a long time and never regretted it. So hated when it broke.
Yeah, nothing fancy. So it all started with I bought a little pressure washer, and it wasn't anything earth-shattering. I questioned whether I bought it powerful enough. And then I was looking at my hose, because I got to get it, you know, way out to the front. And my hose was really ratty, and I said, you know what, I need a new hose too. So one thing led to another. So that's been my thing. Hose, pressure washers, hose reel, the whole nine yards. Spending entirely too much time on it for something that's just a run up to the corner, buy one, and then not think about it for another 10 years.
Yep, roger that. Cool biz. So I think you got your generator all done and the panel and all that taken care of. You're squared up with that.
Yeah, I did. I moved the, my gas ran underground under the concrete out to my garage, and I also had the feeder coming back into the house out in the garage through underground conduit, and I moved all that to the back of the house, and got the new generator. And in fact, we lost power last night for a couple hours, and I went and fired it up. I was like, I came home with El Charles, and I came home to a dark house, and I went, power's out. And I'm like, oh goody. So I ran out and fired it all up, plugged in. Worked like a charm. Thing doesn't even, I mean, I can't even tell when circuits are going on and off. The other one, when I used to, like, you know, when I used to first turn it on, you could hear it go, you know, you could hear that inrush, and then you could hear it stabilize, and because I was running two refrigerators and the blower motor off the furnace, and the blower motor off the furnace kicked on because, it's still being used for the air conditioning, and, and here, you know, I heard the blower motor for the air conditioning kick on, even though the air isn't covered by it. You know, both refrigerators, you know, everything. I've got two extra circuits on this one that I didn't have before. I went from a 6 to a 10 circuit panel, and I never heard the thing so much as change pitch. It just hummed along. So now I wanted to try the coffee maker and the microwave. I have tried the coffee maker, and again, it didn't even hiccup, and but since then I've added the microwave circuit in. Anywho, all done, and very happy. Now just we got to hope that the thing gives me the same kind of service and longevity that the old one did.
That's funny. You get a oh good, the power goes out. I hear ya. You got that just in time, and I'm glad it did what, as expected and better, so excellent. I'm at the sub shop. I'm going to go grab, hopefully they're done making it, and then I'll be back at KEABSI.
Okay. W8FQ.
KEABSI, sub in hand.
What'd you get? Steak and cheese?
ES8S Mobile.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Sunny. 81 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, partly sunny, 83 degrees.
EFM.
W8F. NABDF. What's shaking? What you got going? Nice day. Just doing the bad thing. What do you got going on? I just ran out. A little shopping. A couple odds and ends. Thinking about stopping and getting a coffee, but I got coffee at home, so I'm going to probably run back home, and if I feel up to it, I may do some power washing. We'll see. I haven't quite committed to anything. So you just at the house doing the dad thing, or you actually have some sort of external plans?
I was just thinking about making myself another cup of coffee. It's one of those days where I'm dragging. It's 2 o'clock and it feels like it should be 6 o'clock. We're just at home. Too hard to get these kids out of the house. One of them's an avid, and the other two are building the fourth living room, so they're behaved for now. Did you end up going to the park or anything? Nah, because if I've got time to get up and get motivated to go do that, then I got to do my power washing, so I'm either not going to do anything, but if I muster up the energy, it's going to be that.
1,400 hours. Mostly sunny. 82.
I started pretty gung-ho this morning when everyone woke up. I went outside and cleaned an old four-wheeler I picked up from my parents yesterday to do some yard stuff with, and then I power washed that, and then I was going to start working on it, and I took it half apart and was tuning the carb, and then I just decided it was time to go inside because the kids were starting to get muddy. So I know what you mean. All or nothing. I heard the guys out there earlier. I think I talked to Greg briefly here, and then I heard Greg and Dave talking on P25. I think they were out there. I wasn't sure. I asked, but nobody came back to me, so not sure if they were at the park, which kind of perplexing why that UHF machine, which should be inferior to the 2.6, seems to be performing so much better. It's not like P25 is magic.
The last I talked to both of them, they were there. Greg was about an hour ago. Dave was about 2 hours ago. But yeah, they were there screwing around. Band conditions weren't good. And maybe 2.6 is still hurting.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I got extra pipe, but there's other options. There's other things going on there. So, who knows? I could always move it back. So there's that. I've been having second thoughts about the quarter kilowatt. I wonder if it's for the, for the three or so dB improvement in transmit. Is it worth the management issues of trying to manage, that level of RF?
Is that why you thought it would be something?
Yeah, it's quarter K, and I don't have. I'm not completely comfortable with all my jumpers in the system, so I suppose if I went through and made up all really good, high-quality, super low-loss jumpers, I'd feel better about that, but, the duplexer I'm running is right there, that's its limit, so everything's got to be just perfect to run that level of power.
Sounds like everything else I know in the world. As soon as you start to add more power, you have more problems.
Right. And it kills me because these Japanese companies, they try to sell all these noobs, these Q-loos noobs on, 8 watts, 8 watt handheld. Everybody's like, I'm going to get that handheld because it's 8 watts. You realize that that's like the worst possible thing you could do. You're getting like, If you're talking about going from a 5-watt handheld, which is fairly typical, at most you're going from a 4-watt, and even if you get the full 8, you're talking 3 dB, which is like you get nothing. Now what do you get? You get more heat, you get more current draw, you get all sorts of baggage with 8 watts. It's like it's just not worth it. Big waste of time. And the same goes, anywhere along the line. People are just so hell-bent on that 3 dB, And, like in HF, that first 600 or so, you get between 600 and a grand, you're going to be pretty much right there with just about everybody. Now, granted, I was one of them guys that ran, in the Gator Stakes big time and all that. And, there was a difference, The big dogs were the big dogs. But honestly, that allured, man, if I double my power, it ain't worth it, man.
No, and I've seen it in practice, not necessarily a bunch of power, but, you know, 5 watts and good conditions and a decent antenna, it's crazy what you can do. So I'm glad that I learned that early on was more power is not always everything. And even my mobiles, I try to run them as low as I can. Usually medium power with the ASUS. Same with the HTs. I hate running more than I have to, especially on an HT. You're running 5 watts, the thing just gets hot after 3 transmissions. Yeah, and you're not generally getting all that much. You know, I mean, everybody says, oh, yeah, you know, I was, you know, a little noisy, and I bumped it up to high, and I was less noisy. Okay, you know, I mean, yes, there, it's not every time, but it's just, in general, it's not to say that ever, but, no, there's QRP, you know, 5, give or take, you know, in that range there. You're going to make a significant upgrade, you know, to go to 100, but that's a 10 dB increase, you know, or more. You know, 10 watts, if you went to 100, that'd be 10 dB. And, you know, that's a big deal, right? And so that jump from 10 to 100, from there to 1,000, you know, and that's a 10 dB increase again, 100 to 1,000. Okay, so if you get kind of in that, kind of get in that range. You know, after that, the jumps are much smaller. To legal limit, it's almost nothing, you know? Now, if you're going to go legal limit and then some, which I've heard of people doing. Well, then, yeah, you know, then you can. But still, you're talking maybe 3 dB, you know? I mean, if you're running 1,000, 2,000, which is over legal limits, you just get 3 dB. And if you double that again to 4,000, which now you're getting really, that's serious. You're talking about electrical, all your equipment, everything like that. That's only another. So you're talking about 1S unit to go from a grand to 4 grand. That was the next thing I was going to ask you. You start pushing that much power, I mean, you're just running so much more risk, and I imagine the expenses of keeping everything safe and functional are exponential. And it's not like horsepower. I feel like horsepower is a little more linear versus HF or radio in general.
You know, the bottom line, the more you run, the more more everything has to be right, you know, so it's much less forgiving, so. You know, and then if you got 100 watts and you're having RF issues in the house, and imagine taking that from 100 to 1,000. Imagine that taking that to, you know, 3,000-4,000. You know, it's like, now that doesn't seem to follow the 3 dB rule. You know, you can just go a few hundred watts and have all sorts of RF, you know, interference in your house, and it ain't the smallest amount of interference you're going to have in your house is only 3 dB. Yeah. No, it don't work that way. As far as interference goes, man, just a little bit, you could be just trashing everything. So, so you're really getting the realm of everything's got to be right. I'm not saying it don't work, and I'm not saying it ain't worth something. I ain't saying I ain't never done it, but you start getting that crazy. But I fell for it with the 2.6. You know, I got that quarter kilowatt, and I thought, oh, boy, you know, I've been running 100-watt repeaters forever, you know, and they work just fine. And actually, it's not even a quarter kilowatt. It's 225. So, and, you know, to go to 225, it's like, oh, boy, you know, 3 dB in a pinch. And, you know, but it ain't worth it, you know. Everything's right at the hairy limit, you know, and just go back to a nice 100 water and be happy.
I remember when I first got into HF and I bought a 9-to-1 Ensite, and amount of RF reflecting back into the shack it was turning my monitors off, it was giving me a headache, it was crazy what it was doing. And like you said, I don't even think I was running it at 100 watts at the time, I think I was running it at like 50 just doing FT8, but every time it keyed up, things would go nuts. So yeah, I can't imagine having any sort of error when you're running that kind of power.
Yep, I think I've come to the conclusion that if you can get yourself 1,000, which is pretty easy to do. You know, you're still going to pay money, but if you can get yourself a nice 1,000 water, you know, even 600 gets you in the game. But, you know, you get yourself a nice cool grand, you're going to be really happy, and you're not going to be too terrible. You can, on HF, you can manage 1,000 pretty easy. Things got to be right, you know, you can't be jacking around, you know, when you get up there, but, and they'll get you 10 dB over the guys running 100, so. all things being equal. So that's a, you know, that's a nice place to be on HF. You know, and 100's a really nice place to be, you know, like standard. And then QRP is QRP, right? You know, it's like, so you're going to be at 10 watts, you're 10 dB down, you know, and then, you know, if you're at 5, another 3, so 13. So, you know, it's, that, you know, it's a challenge, but that is the fun of it, you know. So that, you know, is accomplishing things on minuscule antennas and power and all that stuff. So, but you know that. You play around a bit with that. That can be frustrating. All right, I just pulled up at home here. I'm going to listen out, and I'll make this my final and get inside and maybe be back in here in a few after I eat my jalapeno grits and refrigerate the other things I got and make myself a coffee. Or is it WAFU?
10 dB is a lot. Mix that with a beam and a rotor, I think you're going to be able to do whatever the hell you want. I think even 100 watts, if I was able to aim it, I could probably do a lot better. And the QRP thing is frustrating, but it's my favorite. I want another 705, but I know now is not the time to dive back into QRP. Enjoy your food. Maybe I'll catch you later at ADBS.
Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu, Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu radio check, wondering if I'm hitting the West Bloomfield repeater, KF8, DGZ, Joe in South Lyon.
KF8, DGZ, this is N8WRO, Richmond. Joe, you are hitting the West Bloomfield solid. No problems.
Roger, roger. I think I heard someone come back there. Little faint. This is KF8DGZ. Back to you.
KF8EGC, this is N8WRO, Richmond. Yeah, your signal is fine. It's good.
Roger that. I heard you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the confirmation on the signal. I'm trying a different, slightly different antenna setup here, so I appreciate that. I'm AHD, KF8DGZ. I'll say 73s, and thank you for the report.
Anytime. N8WRO.
DC 88FK. KE8VSI Mobile.
Well, I was going to jump in here and say, Tim, your audio is pretty light. I am not used to hearing your audio that light. And then Len jumped in. I was going to say hi to Len. And now Greg's jumped in, so I'll say hi to Greg. So we'll do all those things by explaining what I was going to do. W8FU. Greg?
All right. Well, I didn't even know anybody at all was out here. I just got in the car and fired it up. So, very good. Got down at the park. I was sitting there just getting hotter. It started to get a little warm. So I'm going to go home to the air conditioning. Good bunch of people showed up. A bunch still there. So it was a good visit.
Go ahead, Len. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. I just switch over to the Yaesu for the bass, so I might have to bump up the mic gain a little if this isn't sounding as good as the ICOM.
Yeah, I heard the one guy struggling with you a little bit, and I just wanted to kind of confirm your audio was kind of light. It's still a little light, but not like it was, so there you go. And Yeah, Greg, I heard you and Dave do a quick check on P25. You guys both sounded fantastic, which you know because you were hearing each other. Then I got in there and asked if you were both at the park. I assumed you were at the park. But by the time I grabbed my radio and asked, you guys must have QSY'd or something.
Yeah, we just did a quick check to see if we could hit it from there. We both hit it really well, no problem, so that was pretty cool. And then, we just moved on to the next thing. So, yep, we were about 20, 30 feet apart.
Yeah, I was talking to Dakota just before I got home here, a little bit before you jumped in here. And it's really odd how well that thing works, you know, especially given, you know, it's, similar proximity and set up to so many other machines that it can be compared against. I don't know. That site's great, and it's working really good. And there's room for improvement there, too, because it's got a pretty mediocre antenna. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll just move everything back over there, call it a day.
Yeah, you could. It functions very, very well. But the 2.6, personally, I think is better where it's at than where it was. From where I'm at, it seems to cover a little better.
As it should, it's got about an extra 40 so plus feet and a significantly better antenna. Of course, there's a lot more line losses. Not huge, but anyhow. Enough on all that. I just pleased and surprised at how well the P25 machine's working.
Yep, agreed. It works quite well.
Was that Len? Are you back?
Back. The scanner took off on me, and I lost it for a minute, but I'm back. Hey, I see you got the 442.5 and 442.6. One's the FBI, and the other is the Bloomfield. This frequency here, the .6 seems to sound better, clearer, closer. Both of them are loud. I got full volume, but what's the difference?
Well, I mean, you're on the the FBI network of repeaters, and that includes the 2.6 in Warren, the 2.225 in Richmond, the 2.075 in Romeo, and the 2.5 in West Bloomfield. And for the longest, at first the West Bloomfield 2.5 was an affiliate. But now they're a solid part of the FBI network. So, but they don't carry the same call sign. That's Phil's machine there. But anyhow, bottom line is that what's the difference is where they're located and the coverage area, right? Richmond obviously covers northern Macomb and in the St. Clair. Warren covers Detroit and lower Macomb County and pokes into Oakland County, and then Phil's picking up Oakland County and beyond. Richmond or Romeo is the odd duck. It doesn't really give us a whole lot as I expected. Something wrong there. I don't know what. Site's just not that great. But and then if you add to that, if you spin your dial around, Len, you're going to find even more places we pop up because we are connected up to the Central Michigan network. Their MI1, which is the 2.175, the 3.625 in this area, and then several other repeaters in mid-state, up in the up I-75. So, lots and lots of repeaters. Did that confuse you enough there?
Good explanation. Yep, sounds like a good system. Great. Of course, one person can tie up the whole system, but if you want to keep contact with a group, that's a great way of doing it. Well, very good. Well, thanks for the comeback, Sean. Good to hear you. We'll be listening. AD8FK.
Well, I'll tell you, Len, that is the struggle with this. Is like when you link a bunch of stuff together, now you're polluting the airwaves with just a stupid conversation about what I had for lunch, right? And you can make the argument not. Or you start bringing in things from out of the area, you know, and people, like I say, you know, oh, man, you know, if anybody's, over here on 696, you know, there's an accident, don't go by there. Well, that doesn't, you know, the guys that are in, James Township, Danville, or something like that, that's meaningless to them, right? So there's that, right? But then by the same token, if we were all running independent repeaters, all of us, you know, we'd have, like, two people talk on it every couple of days. So you got to kind of, like, weigh it, you know. It is what it is.
If there are more people talking on it, then you might, leave them independent. But since you got a good group, I guess, over a big area, are the best option to keep them together. Are they tied together all the time, or just like the DART and the UHF one comes in and out to Equilink? But anyway, I don't want to tie it up. We can talk any time about it. I'd like to learn about it sometime more, the pros and cons, and discuss it. I know you guys are discussing it for some time, and I'm just Lenny come lately. Learning, having a good time learning about it. So anyway, we'll talk to you tonight. AD8FK. Back to you, Sean.
All right, there might have been somebody trying to get in on Holly, or they could have been coming in on the T20 machine out there in Grass Lake or something. Was there somebody trying to come in over Holly or out toward Chelsea?
Yeah, this is KEHJRO. I was just going to let you know that I'm picking you up all the way up here in Flint on the, I think it's the Holly repeater. KEHJRO, clear.
All right. Yeah, I saw you key up the dashboard there, and I wanted to check it out. The Holly is a little deceiving because sometimes the Holly will look like it's keyed up on the dashboard, but it's actually something from down around Chelsea. For the longest time, that messed me up. I'm like, no, it says Holly. But then I found out that Holly and Chelsea have their own connection. And so the only thing I see on the dashboard is Holly. But that was a final thing I was going to give you, Len. If you go to k8fbi.org, k8fbi.org, it'll bring you to a dashboard that shows you the flying deer repeaters and other various things. And then down toward the bottom of that screen, I have all the Central Michigan link repeaters. So it's one place where you can see them all. Central Michigan's got a wonderful a website that shows all their stuff, what's connected, the networks and all that. But this one's unique in that it shows, you know, our FBI network in the top window, and then in the bottom window it shows the Central Michigan network repeaters, and you can see pretty good, you know, who's talking where and where the repeaters are located and all that good stuff. Anyhow, it's k8fbi.org. And I have links, you know, directly to the WHCMN UHF system on there. So if you want to go look at their site directly, you can see up in the toolbar. Anywho, Greg, we've let you out the last 10 transmissions. You're probably in the house cooling off by now.
No,
I got a couple more miles to go yet. Just enjoying the ride, the Sunday drive, as they say. KEHBSI.
KDAOSD up Marysville.
Yeah, that's another one that I've been very pleased with. The Richmond repeater has done exactly what it was supposed to do. That's poke in the St. Clair County and give St. Clair County some much-needed coverage. It's a pretty barren landscape up there for RF. How are you?
Doing well, Sean. Thank you. Name here is Charlie. And that explanation you just gave cleared up a lot of questions I had, too. I've been monitoring that dashboard quite a bit when I came across this repeater. And been doing a lot of listening. They've got a couple of contacts on it, but I do majority listening. It's quite a system, and I appreciate the work you put into it, sir.
Yeah, it's just fun, you know, have some fun with it, and, you know, if there's a need. So, mostly, I cater to our ARPSC, you know, it's ultimately, you know, we use it, of course, when it's condition green, but if it's not, this thing's there for them. And, well, I mean, it's been around for much longer than that, but, that's the direction I've moved with it in recent years. The reason for so much emphasis on getting all of the county covered with Romeo and Richmond and all that stuff. So, so the dashboard, I'll take advantage of this thing to continue on the thread. But, yeah, KFBI.org, that top window is, that's the hub. That's where all the repeaters connect. Now, people sometimes connect to that with their personal nodes. But I did create the box underneath it, 48412. That's generally where I'd like people with personal notes to come in. It's not a big deal. They can come in anywhere they want, right? They can come in at 43732, which is the actual FBI hub, or they can come in at FBI headquarters, as I called it, just for lack of, I just was playing around. And that's where, like, personal notes are. So that box underneath will be people with personal all-star notes. And you'll see Mark and 8IJ is connected up there, and Steve and 8NM, they're connected in at the 48412. And then below that, you'll see node 1919. That's a private node. It's non-routable, and that's for people that are running Echolink, if they come in on Echolink or hams over IP, and they come into that. Now, the reason, and I noticed somebody is on Echolink right now, and the reason for that is that most of the tomfoolery we get comes in from Echolink or hams over IP or something like that, and that way it allows me to just disconnect that, you know, if I need to. I haven't in a long time, but that's where the, you could say that's where the radio-less folks come in. And then the bottom one is the Central Michigan, Central Michigan Network list of repeaters, so. So that's kind of why the four boxes there. And then I don't know if you're looking at it now or if anybody's looking at it now, but you can tell that I am on the 442.6 repeater because if you look at the other boxes, it's all coming in from the node 43732, 43732, 43732. Well, that's the top box, so I'm doing something up in that top box. Ah, I'm on the 442.6. And then the other ones just get it from there. So if there's anything else I can help explain, please let me know.
Nope, actually, that all made sense. And, I've been reading up on the asterisk and some of the linking and whatnot, kicked around the idea of making a note. But, you know, the systems are up there and the work you put into them, you might as well use them and keep them busy. So, and the Richmond one, it's been a blessing, you know. Like you said, it's quiet up this way. It's been nice to listen to a bunch of contacts. I can hear Jack out there. He's quite a character. I met him over on another band or another service. he's quite a character to listen to. But, yep, everything you were saying made sense, and I'm glad I was able to be in the shack to listen to that explanation. I've been wondering how all that worked, and now that made total perfect sense. Okay, well, I'll let y'all go and continue on. I think I'm going to go hit the backyard. I got the front yard done and came in to cool off and about out of iced tea, so I appreciate the info there, Sean. Again, my name is Charlie, and I'm KD8OSD, Marysville.
Hi, Charlie. Yeah, no problem. I've got some yard work I want to do, too. Bought a pressure washer and a new hose and all sorts of stuff, so I'm either going to do absolutely nothing and watch cat videos, or I'm going to go play with my new power washer. So I should probably try to work towards the power washer while the temperatures are nice and high like they are. All right. W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly sunny. 83 degrees.
KFM, how you doing?
Good, what's happening?
Oh, not too bad. Just cleaning up and getting my basement organized while it's hot here. And now I'm distracting myself playing with the radio. Who was the call again? I didn't quite catch that.
WAPD, Victor David.
I don't think I recognize your name. This is Davian in Shelby Township.
This is Wally. What's the Alpha Lima Lima Yankee?
Yeah, it's a little bit hotter today than I expected it to be. So the basement was a good place to go start doing things I've been putting off. At least down here it's nice and cool.
Yeah, I just threw my call out, getting ready to, I'm pulling a big trailer, big trailer, so I'm going to have to drop off. I'll talk to you a little bit later. WAD.
Sounds good. All right, be safe, have fun. KE8TFM.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly sunny. 84 degrees.
Yes, that is true. I'm testing something. AVPR.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly sunny. 83 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly sunny. 83 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Sunny. 83 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly sunny. 80 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Sunny. 76 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Partly cloudy. 73 degrees.
WBA-KLL, WBA-KLL, KFA-DIC.
Good evening, 23 hours, mostly cloudy, 69 degrees.